Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Pistons are playing at the Wizards tonight, and win or lose, that's already led to a very cool experience. The Pistons were at the White House to meet with a cabinet secretary about a charity initiative, and guess who walked in the room? President Barack Obama. And say whatever you want about Obama's politics, the man is funny. His comedic timing is great. Go back and watch his speeches and presentations when NBA champions visited the White House, particularly when it was the Warriors, but also the Cavs last year and any other one. He's just always so funny. And so I wish we had some of this on video. We've just got to take it secondhand or even third hand, a little bit of it. But some of the reports coming out about that interaction, he went around the room and introduced himself, gave everybody a handshake. Aaron Baines got a little bit of grilling from Obama about his hairstyle, which, yeah, if you look at Aaron Baines' hair, I think that's deserved. And then Reggie Jackson introduced himself to Obama, and Obama said, basically, yeah, I know who you are. I follow basketball, which is just a real cool moment for Reggie Jackson, a real cool moment for all the Pistons, who probably aren't close enough to winning a championship where they're going to meet the president anytime soon, but maybe one day can get back there and have it a little more formal. So win or lose against the Wizards, just a real cool thing for the Pistons in Washington. We'll talk more about that game. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the collective bargaining agreement. We're learning more and more about it and how these clauses will affect the Pistons. One big one that directly affects Detroit and pretty much every team in the league: players on rookie scale contracts over the next three seasons are going to get their salaries bumped up. Those rookie scale deals were set under the previous CBA. They're absurdly low. And so Stanley Johnson will make more money and Henry Ellenson will make more money. They're the only players on rookie scale deals still when the new CBA kicks in. Whoever the Pistons draft in the first round next year, he'll sign directly under the new CBA, so his salary will be higher. This will just make Johnson's and Ellenson's salaries a little closer to commensurate to what these new first-round picks are going to get. Important to note that additional salary will not count against the cap. So yeah, the Pistons will be on the hook to pay more. At least that's the implication so far. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some type of league-wide sharing thing where maybe it's not all on the individual teams, but that's where the money comes from ultimately. So somebody from the teams is going to be on the hook to pay for this additional salary, but it will not count toward the cap. It won't change how the Pistons have estimated the cap based on those salaries for Johnson and Ellenson. It also appears there's a good chance Andre Drummond is going to be eligible for a higher max contract than expected on his next contract. He's already locked in now a five-year max deal with a player option on the fifth year. That's all set. Nothing's happening with that. But his next contract, the max might be higher. So it could be higher than expected for a couple reasons. Number one, the max salaries were always split into tiers based on years of experience. 0 to 6 years, 7 to 9 years, and 10 plus years. If you had 0 to 6 years experience, it'd be 25% of the cap. If you had 7 to 9, it would be 30% of the cap. If you had 10 plus, it'd be 35%. But it wasn't an actual percentage of the cap. It was a percentage of an adjusted cap, which was a slightly lower figure. So 25% wasn't actually 25%. It was like 23, 24%. It was less. And so that's going to change. It's going to be 25%, 30%, 35% of the exact cap. So any max player, he's going to get a higher share of revenue than previously. So that'll add up. raises, this will be true of all contracts, raises for players re-signing with bird rights, those are going to be 8% up from 7.5%. Max raises in other contracts are going to go up from 4.5% to 5%. A little small little tweak that will affect all contracts. And then here's the big thing for Drummond in particular. There is a new designated player, a veteran designated player. Don't get this confused with the rookie skill designated player, the Derrick Rose rule that already existed under the previous CBA, the current CBA. And I want to get back to the rookie skill designated player in a second. But the veteran designated player, it looks like, and some of this is still hazy, it looks like it's going to apply to players with 7 to 9 years experience. Players who normally would have a max of 30% of the salary cap. It looks like if they meet certain criteria, they could go up to 35% of the salary cap. What's that criteria? Either all NBA in the player's last year before the contract or contract extension, MVP or defensive player of the year in the last year before the player, before the in the final year of the player's contract before a new contract or an extension. Drummond could do that. He's an all NBA caliber player, can make it that 1 year. And just in case he has a down year, there are some protections. If in 2 years and 3 years before that, if in both years you hit any of those three marks, either all NBA, MVP, or defensive player of the year, then you can still get it. So if you get it in two of the three before, but really if you get it in the last one, you only need the last one. So it's 2 years back and 3 years back where if you hit it. And by the way, I find it funny that they put MVP in here. I guess you only need to do MVP once. I guess that's why it's in there separate. But as far as it being in the last year part, well, you can't really win MVP without making an all-NBA team. Just a little wordier than necessary in the CBA, but just in case, to cover all bases, maybe that gets changed at some point where it's a different set of voters and you want to have that protected. That's fine. No harm done. So if Drummond gets that, and he very well could, he can opt out after 8 years of being in the league, or he'll become a free agent after 9 if he plays out his 5-year contract. He'll probably end up opting out. That's the strong likelihood. The Pistons, with the cap shooting up, with max salaries going up, they have him at somewhat of a bargain. So I think 4 years from now, yeah, he'll probably opt out. He'll be in line for a larger max than expected. A lot of these detailed facts about the new CBA come from Tim Bonteps of the Washington Post. Had a great article about a lot of the details. If you're really into the salary cap stuff, I highly recommend you check it out. It's by far the most comprehensive thing anybody has published so far. The Pistons, it looked like, dodged a bullet with Donatas Motiejunas. Motiejunas, of course, was traded to the Pistons middle of last season, just before the trade deadline. The Pistons failed him on his physical, rescinded the trade. He went back to Houston, and that just led to a prolonged free agency that continues. The latest step, though, is just the real confirmation that the Pistons did pretty well. The Rockets matched an offer sheet on Motiejunas from the Nets. So the Rockets had the right to give Motiejunas a physical. He did not report for the physical. The offer sheet remained open. Houston and Motiejunas agreed to a new similar deal. So the Rockets, because he didn't show up to the physical, had the right to basically rescind that offer sheet, rescind their match. He can't go to the Nets. He goes back into restricted free agency, but this was just a technical move so that they could sign him outright themselves. Houston re-signs him. He's still got to come in for a physical, though. This is a physical on the new contract. He takes the physical and fails it. He fails it so badly that the Rockets let him back into unrestricted free agency. They could have just made him a restricted free agent and let him try and find an offer from another team that's not the Nets, because the Nets can't sign him for a year. Could have let him try to find somewhere else, could have tried to renegotiate a new deal with him. And the Rockets basically said, no matter what somebody is willing to pay you, it is not worth it to us to match. Just go on your way. We're done with this. We don't have any interest in matching, so they weren't going to hold it over him. But the fact that they weren't going to hold over those matching rights over him speaks to how little they valued him. Says something about his back injury, says something about his health. It seems like the Pistons made the right diagnosis and were ahead of the game there. So good for the Pistons medical staff doing their due diligence and the Pistons making a good decision. All right, back on to on-the-court stuff. The Pistons at the Wizards tonight, hosting the Pacers tomorrow. Let's start with this Washington game. The Pistons started off 1-8 on the road. We were all very concerned. Seemed like there might be something to it. And even if there wasn't, it could become a self-fulfilling prophecy where the players believed there was a reason they couldn't win on the road and fed into that idea. 5-1 on the road since. Everything seems good. The Pistons are better than the Wizards. A real disappointing year in Washington. I thought the Wizards would be one step behind the Pistons in the Eastern Conference. They're more than that. Washington has three players playing very well. That's John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter. They have a fourth who's playing pretty well, and that's Marcin Gortat. And then after that, it's a mess. Markieff Morris is having a real down year, surprisingly, because he blended pretty well last season after last year's midseason trade. He was good for and with them down the stretch. And the Wizards bench is atrocious. Just a real bungled offseason for them is catching up to them already. And so this is a game the Pistons should win, but it can always be tricky on the road. The Pistons haven't been great in Washington. It was real encouraging how well the Pistons bench played against the Mavericks. This is a game where I think bench play could matter. Pistons bench is pretty up and down. I don't think they need to be super high up because the Wizards bench is almost always down. But they can't have a really down game. The Pistons bench can't. So some positive signs there. Stanley Johnson might be in the rotation, might not. Seems like something we're always watching for now. Stan Van Gundy was somewhat noncommittal. He praised how Johnson played against the Mavericks, but basically said it'll be game by game whether Darren Hilliard or Stanley Johnson fills that role. It should be one of them tonight. KCP seems healthy to go. He should start despite a small little ankle tweak. So we'll see whether it's Johnson or Hilliard. My guess is Johnson, but we'll see. And the other player personnel note is that Reggie Jackson is probably capped at about 28 minutes is what Van Gundy said. Maybe they want to get that up to 30 or 32 in the long run. But right now it's about 26 to 28. So a little bit of a bigger role for Ish Smith, which for the most part, the way Jackson has played since coming back is fine. The Pistons need to get Jackson healthy and clicking, but they also don't want to throw away minutes with him struggling as he refines his form, especially because there already is a nice cohesion between Jackson and the other starters. Even that has showed, especially defensively. So they don't need to work their way back into that. This is all about getting Jackson back healthy into peak performance. And then because we won't be having a podcast tomorrow, let's look ahead at this Pacers game. A real disappointing year in Indiana. The Pacers remade their team to be faster and more dynamic offensively, and it's pretty much been a flop. There's only one ball. There's not enough players capable of playing off the ball. Monty Ellis got a lot of blame for it. Oh, they're losing with him hurt. I doubt he plays against the Pistons. I don't think it's just Monty Ellis. It's just the makeup of this team. It doesn't really work, but the Pacers have a couple nice players. Paul George is obviously a star. Miles Turner is a most improved player candidate. Just a real special type of center, somebody who can block shots, protect the rim, and hit three-pointers. He could be a load for Andre Drummond to challenge, but the Pistons, I think, are just more cohesive, just better. One way Detroit can really take advantage, in a way the Pistons haven't always this year, the Pacers are a lousy rebounding team on both ends. The Pistons dominate the rebounding battle, as they're definitely capable of. That can make things a lot easier and allow a little slippage elsewhere, and Detroit still come away with a win. Even if the Pistons don't dominate on the glass, I think there are enough advantages, but then it becomes more of a toss-up, especially on a third game in 4 days. So we'll see how that one goes. We'll be back on Monday to review those games and look ahead. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA.